And that is so, such a bad idea to even flirt with. I can't
well,
even.
And well, I admire your rhetoric. That's exactly what you're doing. If you take my suggestion and were to say today, I will take no meetings on this process. I will support whatever the Election Commission, who are independent people who were duly appointed to try and help come up with strategies to implement a new system, decide, then you're not injecting yourself. I will say right now, I will abstain from this vote.
But of course they're going to write rules to preserve the system. They serve
on. Let me finish. I will let the folks who are going to be, you know, decide this. I would not have made any argument at all if you hadn't stepped in and said, in the guise of not monkeying with things, I'm going to make a very political argument that will shape this race a certain way. And so that's your right, and you have every right to vote. But I think as long as you say, as long as it comes to this, I'm going to vote a certain way, then the council is basically injecting itself.
But Commissioner Stinn, that's disingenuous. You know, and I know this discussion's been happening away from this table before today.
I have no idea. I haven't had
this discussion has been whether maybe you don't know. I have heard this discussion happening in this building. I know it's on active consideration, and I used this opportunity to send a message, not in a vacuum, because this discussion's happening, that it is in one person's view, and I said one person, I'm just one of five here, one person's view, it is an entirely inappropriate thing to do anything to adjust the rules, change the rules, create new rules, or delete rules when an election is in play. You don't do it. And again, my message I'm sending, all your arguments, I could get there, all of them. I mean, including allowing signatures to go to another race, but not during the tenure of an actual contest for a seat. It's just sacrosanct, in my view. And I don't think that is political. I think what I'm saying is just saying, stay out of it.
Well, and I guess, and I'll stop, is that, you know, I have not had a single conversation with an Election Commission member. I do not intend to. I've had one conversation with the auditor when I sat with him to tell him my timing to see what he thought. And again, if you really believe that sending the kind of signal you're making today has no political implications, as opposed to just saying this council is going to look to the Election Commission to make a decision that we appointed them to do, that's your right.
Well, I'm prepared to see what the Election Commission has to say. I guess, we modified voter-owned elections during the last cycle to respond to some realities about in-kind contributions, as I recall. So, you know, it is a work in progress, and this is a complicated issue, obviously rife with politics already. I mean, people don't need to start calling us. They've already been calling us. But I am prepared to defer to what the commission says. I will say that I don't see any, given that an open seat is 8 days old, 9 days old, a new open seat, I don't see any, personally, I don't feel any great umbrage is being done if we allow those who qualify who are running for one open seat to take those signatures and qualify for the other open seat. I don't see that as being any grave harm. But that's just my own opinion.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm just, like I said, I'll look forward to the Election Commission's recommendation.
My reasons are a little bit more practical, and that is having a city council with four members up to 8 months long, I think, puts an untenable burden on the council members. It then requires a distribution of the assigned bureaus that are in Commissioner Stinn's portfolio to somebody else. The resolution today really doesn't discuss about transferring. It's just about setting a date for an election. And my preference is to vote on that today and then listen to the recommendations that come from the commission and make a decision then. But for today, I will vote to support this resolution, setting the dates that you put in the resolution.
And Auditor Blackmire, actually, I interrupted what I think was a presentation. I apologize for that. Did you want to complete your presentation?
The only other thing I would add is that with a vote of the resolution before you, filing can begin tomorrow for the seat. And the deadline is March 11th, which is the deadline for any candidate filing for any city office.
And do we have people signed up to testify? Or?
And Mayor, I apologize, although I think the time is really good, actually, given that I caused this mess. I have to go down to Old Town and work on another mess that I'm involved in. And so, therefore, I will not be able to vote on this, which I actually feel pretty good about, because I think that since the four of you will have to deal with the vacancy and the extra work, that you are in a better position and a more appropriate. And despite my all my friendly arguments with Commissioner Leonard are about something that I have no idea that what the Election Commission will say next Monday. I just want to keep an open mind and see what they have to say. And certainly, even under Commissioner Leonard's argument, one can collect the $1,005 mm-hmm. starting tomorrow and right. be done by January 31st. That would be very hard to do, but it is certainly available at this point. So with that, Mayor, I'll let you know how it goes in Old Town.
And I'm sure you hear about ours.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll hear about his, too.
Thank you, Gary. How many people have signed up to testify?
We have two people signed up.
Okay, please call them forward.
Amanda Fritz and Martha Perez.
Thank you for being here. If you'd state your name when you speak, and you each have 3 minutes.
Amanda Fritz, speaking for myself. Commissioner Sten left, but I came in part to thank him for his service to the city and to honor many of the things that he has done as a city commissioner, and in particular, his outstanding contributions to public campaign financing. He is the only candidate who has chosen to run under public campaign financing as an incumbent, and that was a great and honorable gift to the city, and I think one of the best things that you can do to honor his legacy is to make sure that his seat is filled with the opportunity of running using public campaign financing. If you put the special election in May, that is not going to happen. And you will ensure that either the rules are changed, as Commissioner Leonard just said, in the middle of the process, which I don't believe is fair, or that his seat will be filled by whoever can raise the most money in the shortest time. And that is completely not what you as a city council have shown that you care about over the past many years since you adopted the public campaign financing program. So the Planning Commission has been operating with at least two vacancies for over a year. That's two of nine. When I served on the Planning Commission for 7 years, we were often down several members, and we scheduled our vacations so that we were able to make the quorum. Now, obviously, we only met every other week instead of every week. But the public benefit of delaying the election till September far outweighs, in my opinion, the challenge of staffing the bureaus and of getting a quorum at the city council meetings from now until then. So I urge you, instead of adopting today's resolution, to put this special election in September so that actually you could do a public campaign financing program with only changing the dates. There would be 6 months before September that candidates could choose to sign up and collect 1,000 donations of $5. I was the first candidate to qualify for public campaign financing in 2006, and I am the only candidate who is running again using that program. And I just 5 minutes ago signed the papers to apply for certification, since I'm the only candidate who has collected 1,000 donations so far. I am not interested in switching to a different seat. My donors gave me $5 knowing that I was running for Commissioner Adams' seat and knowing pretty much who was in the race to that point, although we were all certainly aware that things could change. I want there to be a process for special election. In fact, I've been asking for that since June 2006, and indeed the Campaign Commission has been working on it. So it's not like we're suddenly asking for this process. It was on the agenda for January before Commissioner Sten announced his vacancy. It's been in progress, and if you delay the special election until September, you would allow the Commission to make a proposal for all special elections, not just this one, and you would greatly uphold the wonderful principle of public campaign financing. I just want to tell you from my perspective, Portlanders love public campaign financing. It was far easier to get folks to give me the $5 this time because people know about the system, they care about the system, they care about the principle of taking big money out of public elections. And so the process is more difficult this time because the form is 10 times more difficult to get completed. But Portlanders really care about this program and I believe would urge you to delay the election till September.
Hi, I'm Martha Perez. I'm currently a general political activist. I reside at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 110, Portland 97209. And I'll limit my comments to how I feel about the statements that have been said today. And not include any points on how my own campaign is going for commissioner position number 4, public safety. I would consider switching over my campaign to a different commissioner seat if that option were to happen. I do consider myself a person of color, a person who does have a stake in the outcome of this decision, whether that's through as Dan and Eric mentioned, going through the elections committee and let them defer it to them, or whether it's through what the warrant, you know, advisory from you, Randy. My head tells me that we should be listening to what you're saying about this, Randy, but my heart tells me we should be also paying attention to what Eric's saying, even though he's not here right now, unfortunately. But I think it's really cool that we do have a different type of governing system than the rest of the country, and anything we can do to distinguish ourselves is always, can be a good thing, you know? So I remain open-minded. I think a good leader is someone who doesn't try to make things perfect, acknowledges things are a work in progress, and only believes in improving a process, not perfecting it to 100%, because realistically it never could be so, except in utopia. I would publicly like to thank, I think he's here, is Mr. Andrew Carlstrom. I'd like to thank him for advising me on the dual process of campaign, public financing, or, you know, not going that route as Sam's doing. So I think what we do here matters, because in the future, you know, I consider myself the future, the face of a future governance. And, you know, I think it's important that whatever we do, we're sending out a positive message. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have some questions.
Questions?
I'm not for you two. Thank you very much. Okay. For your team. So some technical questions that might or might not have any significance. So when a candidate is running and is going to change the seat they're running for, and it's confusing to the public because we're elected to positions, but we're elected citywide, do they simply change the nature of their PAC? I wanted to make sure that that was an accurate statement. Is that true?
There's when they file for the office is when they declare which position they would be going for. Their PAC, a lot of times they don't necessarily say which seat. I don't recall. Andrew, Andrew Carlstrom will be able to tell you the details.
I recall they have to have a purpose to their committee.
Right, but I don't know if it.
Andrew Carlstrom, city elections officer. This is someone that's already filed for a position. How do they?
So they've set up a candidate PAC and they've already paid or submitted their signatures for a position. In this case, for Eric's for my position, whatever number that is.
Under public financing or
I'm just asking a non-public financing technical question.
They would have to withdraw their declaration or their nominating petition, amend their statement of organization on ORSTAR, and then resubmit a declaration or a new nominating petition.
But I don't think the PAC. So the PAC doesn't necessarily tie to a specific seat.
It used to be, and now I hire a firm to do this for me, but it used to be that you had to have a purpose for your PAC.
Correct.
So you would have to change the purpose of your PAC from running for my position to running for Eric's position, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. The other thing that's been set up here that I just wanted to poke at a little bit, and that is that someone could, between now and the end of the January, could conceivably go out and collect the $5 and get the petitions. How is that possible, given that this is a special election as opposed to a regular election? And on the other hand, I've heard we have no rules for special elections under voter-owned elections.
Well, I would interpret this election as a standard election, and the period for application for any office is March 11th, I should say. And so because this is becoming vacant during the qualifying period, it wouldn't be a change of rules whatsoever that they would simply start gathering their contributions as soon as they file, and with the goal of having it done by January 31st, which is the deadline for all the other candidates who are trying to qualify for these positions. So
I appreciate that and accept it at face value, but we either have something in place that works for special elections or we don't. And I've heard we don't, and I've heard the interpretation would be that they could qualify under the non-special election, voter-owned election deadlines. And I don't understand.
Well, it's partly because of the timing of this vacancy. If the vacancy were to be in an off year, we would be with virtually the 90-day limit and the 45-day limit, and no rules in place to deal with that, because the qualifying period begins on July 1 of the year preceding the race, and the deadline is January 31 of the year of the race. So those wouldn't work. The dates wouldn't work at all in terms of a qualification process outside of the coincidence of this race happening during the qualifying period.
So, do you have any thoughts on this?
I haven't had a chance to look at the rules that Auditor Blackmer is referring to, and I would defer to him, but in listening to the conversation, it sounds like the conclusion is that he's drawing is from a general rule and applicable to all elections. And what his conclusion is that this is a special election for which we do not at this point in time have special rules, and therefore the general rule would apply with the deadline that is otherwise generally applicable. And if there were to be a carve-out, that would have to be done as a special rule for a special election. That's what I'm hearing. I would defer to Auditor Blackmer as to whether or not my conclusion was wrong.
That's a good way of describing it.
I have a question.
Oh, just one more, if I could. Do we face any liability from changing the rules? Could anyone claim harm that files tomorrow through when our decision on voter-owned is made? They file. We then allow for, we modify voter-owned elections, and they can they claim harm?
I think there, we have talked to the city attorney about that, and it doesn't look like, if we're preparing general rules, the liability is rather minimal, but there may be some argument to be made for that.
General rules meaning?
Meaning for all candidates. This is following through on something that was already underway. I can't characterize just the brief comment I've gotten from
how,
the city attorney.
How would switching signatures for one race to a special election race be a general rule? I mean, that's more of an anomaly.
For example, if the signatures were switched to your race as opposed to a vacant office, you would be in much better standing for saying you were harmed by it than all candidates who are registering for an office in which there are no candidates. Because you are, you were.
But there will be candidates starting tomorrow.
Well,
correct. And actually, that's the question I had. You said that if we vote yes today, that it sets the election for May 20th, mm-hmm. and it allows people to file tomorrow. If there is a no vote, it would not allow people to file tomorrow. We would not set the date for May 20th. Would it allow people to start collecting the 1,000?
No.
So there would be none of that either.
Right.
Okay.
And I guess I'm a little uncomfortable trying to characterize the city attorney's brief comments as...
Okay. I'm happy to have their response. I want to think through. This is a very sensitive issue for a lot of people. It's a very important mm-hmm. issue for the city. I want to make sure, just like when I asked about timing, that we've thought through all the permeations. And so if we set the election today, candidates can file. You know, if we did it together, I can see where there'd be less, people could claim less harm, but we are establishing candidates in the race. The another question I have on the forms, and I've actually given some $5, but I don't recall, does the form say which position?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
It doesn't.
It says mayor, commissioner, auditor.
Okay. Thank you.
Why doesn't it say what position?
No.
I'm saying why doesn't it?
Why doesn't it? Because most people, it was the citizen is required, the voter is required to circle which one it is. And I would bet that 90% of them don't know which position or which department you are the commissioner of. Public affairs, public utilities, public safety,
most
public
of us
finance.
Don't either.
So we saw that as a higher, as requiring citizens to do some, to know something that they probably don't, and if they get it wrong, we would have to throw those petitions out.
They have to file for the seat before they can collect signatures.
That's correct.
And certainly when you file for the seat, you're designating
you know,
which
the
seat
candidate knows for sure, right.
So implicit in collecting the signatures, they apply only to that seat you file
correct.
For.
Oh, good question. When they sign up for voter-owned elections, do they sign up for a specific seat?
They do. Okay. And that's the change that would need to be made in code would be if under certain circumstances a vacancy occurred during the qualifying period, they would be allowed to transfer their accrued contributions to the new vacancy.
So a candidate could not just amend their filing to reflect interest in a different position?
No, if unless they're privately funded.
Right.
They could do
That's
that at any time.
Thank you.
And you mentioned that the past two special elections have been in September.
That's correct. And it just was, again, kind of the timing of it that they happened after, both of them happened after the May primary.
Actually, I guess another question would be.
Oh, in an election year also, I should say.
And runoffs would have been in November or were in November?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are the pros and cons of making a decision a week from today on the timing of the special election?
Well, conceivably, a candidate could have an extra week to gather $5 contributions. Conceivably, one of our participating candidates could say, I'm going to send a fresh form out to all 850 people I've got forms from already and ask for another $5. I'll change in the auditor's office and I'll get the other 150 before January 31. That's a possibility also. So I thought about, is it better to have everything in alignment? My sense was it was better to get this resolved and get people filed as soon as possible with those options available as well, as opposed to pulling it off even further and trying to decide at a later date that, well, yeah, you've now got 2 weeks to do that.
Are we in any legal position sort of taking there are two ways you can become a whatever they call it, clean money candidate. One is voter-owned elections. One is self-imposed sort of contribution.
Participating and non-participating.
We love candidates who impose their own limits.
Are we listening here, Commissioner Leonard? There are two ways you can do that. Is it possible for us to, in this election, just asking a theoretical question here, folks.
Sure.
Is it possible that we could set limits or those have all been ruled unconstitutional?
Those are unconstitutional.
But don't let that stop you.
So were we to wait a week, say have the benefit of what the Election Commission might recommend, would they, are they willing to weigh in on this, May versus September, or is this something that
I think
not-
they would. The question of holding off till September, I mean, besides all the issues of counsel, there's a lot of, I'd say I would describe it as a chain of ifs and maybes. Number one would be, can the Citizen Campaign Commission come up with a truncated qualification process that works with commissioner seats in the time period available? Number two, can we flawlessly translate that into city code in a very timely way? Will that meet city council's approval in terms of the qualification process? Any changes in the monetary amounts? Will serious candidates want to qualify? And then finally, will any candidates succeed in qualifying under that? I mean, it's a lot of work that may turn out to have nobody at the end. And to that extent, I'd be concerned about pushing off the a date for a big maybe out there. So, I mean, that those are all considerations that would need to be taken into account before you decide to, you know, put your eggs in the Citizen Campaign Commission basket to come up with a solution that is workable for September.
I don't know if you said it, but they may come up with a different recommendation than what is being considered. So they could come back and say, we're going to leave it until after the election and make a determination then.
I mean, one of the issues would be that we've got about 160 days between the vacancy and 170 days between the vacancy and the election. Normally we would only have 90 days. So if we're going to put together some kind of a special election process, we probably wouldn't want to. It would be a 90-day time frame that we would do. Otherwise, we'd create a one-off kind of a special election process for timing in this particular period. And I would be adverse to creating city code, as Commissioner says, that it works only in this case and doesn't work in all cases. So then we would probably say, let's put off the filing for the office until May so that we have a 90-day window until the primary. But then you've kind of undercut what a real special election is, because candidates will start organizing to qualify, to get their network set up, so you haven't really got a qualification process that's like a special election. So there's a lot of considerations, I think, in terms of building something quickly for this particular circumstance.
Well, my first inclination, we had a talk about this yesterday, and you said it could not be done. My first inclination is to build a, instead of no voter-owned elections for this special election, have some sort of voter-owned election process, even if it was a one-off. If we had 45 days that everyone would have to go out and get new signatures if they already done it, or, yeah, get new signatures for, let's say, a month. Would it be 1,000? You know, I'd like input from other people. Mm-hmm. But in our hallway conversation yesterday, you just flat out said that's not practical.
I think it's, well, you start getting, there's a cascade of other things. The deadline for the voters pamphlet is middle of March for a May one, so we'd have to pay for a special voters pamphlet that would go out at some other date. And that's only off the top of my head. If I start thinking about some of the dates, some of the appeal processes, the shortest time frame we can have an appeal right now under the current code, it takes about 3 weeks. I'm adverse to trying to crunch that down, because some of these appeals are telling the person they need to pay the city back $145,000 out of their own pocket, and we need to have a good due process and an adequate time for them to justify their case, so we aren't just taking that money from them in a 5-day period because it's a special election. So there are those kinds of things that we need to think through, and that's why I would really like the commission to have the time to thoughtfully approach and say, do we need to just have a different qualification process for special elections, and what would that look like? There are a lot of different alternatives out there. I mean, we could... One, if we're looking at just the spirit of public elections, the idea of limited campaigns is a part of it. So we could say to a candidate, if you limit your spending in the nominating election and you get into the runoff, we'll pay for your runoff. I mean, that's a way to get at keeping, you know, large interests out without requiring a huge qualification process. I don't know if the commission would even be interested in that, but it's one way of kind of approaching it in an entirely different way.
I'd be interested in their thoughts on that.
Yeah. Thank
you. Further questions? Call the vote.
Adams?
It's kind of ironic on the Oregonian editorial page today. I get both a pat on the back and a kick in the butt for two different issues. I'm going to, after hearing this discussion, I find it frustrating, but I'm going to vote for the May date. And I'm going to ask that the Elections Commission be very creative. That last thought you threw out on the table I thought was very creative. And even if it isn't, if you limit in the primary, we'll pay for things in the general. There might be other benefits that candidates might, that might incent candidates to keep to a self-imposed, I'm doing a $500 per contributor and a maximum for the whole expenditure of $200,000 for the whole race. So I'm interested if there are other incentives. We've spent all this time and effort to try to make our electoral process as accessible as possible to folks that don't have a lot of money and don't have necessarily an established place in Portland's political culture. And I'd like to hear some creative ideas in this special election. And I appreciate the arguments on both sides. I'd like to see what's possible. It sounds like it might have to be voluntary. I'll listen to the arguments about portability. Aye.
Leonard.
Honestly, this is one of those few discussions like I feel like I'm from somewhere else. I honestly cannot understand how anybody up here would even flirt with the idea of changing any rule that affected an election. There is nothing more sacrosanct in the United States of America than our elections, as the Florida elections showed in the outrage almost 8 years ago. It is beyond repugnant to me to even have considered somehow changing an election to, then there's no other way to put it than to promote a particular point of view of how elections should be run. I mean, I try very hard when we have the discussions on voter-owned elections, aside from the original passage of it, when I actually debated the merits of it, to be supportive of the amendments and the changes and to not get on the bandwagon of those who are critical of it, and quite the opposite. But you play into your enemy's hands, I have to tell you, with these discussions and considerations. And why it seems clear to me and not to others is somewhat baffling. And because it's like the basic discussion is, yes, this is the way that you get qualified people elected to office in any other way must somehow mean that the individual is compromised. Only because that issue has been raised here today, I have to say that I think voter-owned elections in many ways is an insult to voters. People sort out the kinds of issues that they think compromise candidates that run for office. I need only point to the last mayor's race to make that point. I mean, I would hope I wouldn't have to, but apparently I do. This city is replete with examples of those who thought that they were owed an election because they raised the most money and were sent home by themselves after the election to wonder what happened. Having said that, these discussions about what we do in a special election are entirely appropriate and should be discussed, and we should adopt rules. And we should sit down and have thoughtful discussions about what we do in the event of a special election. But that hasn't been done up till now is not my fault. It hasn't been done up till now. And you can't then all of a sudden, because somebody says, I'm resigning and we're going to have a special election, decide you're going to create rules all of a sudden to fit that, and have there be any appearance of objectivity on the part of this city council with respect to how we conduct elections. It is entirely an inappropriate thing to do. And so I hope more thought goes into those concerns that I'm raising before any recommendations comes to this council. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I am eager to see what the Election Commission recommends to us on Monday night, or when they meet on Monday night. I think it's there's good issues, but I think the fundamental point is it's an issue with which we don't presently have rules. We're not changing rules, and we've done this before in the last election cycle. You know, I guess also my head tells me for if we want the most robust race, you know, we should have a September election, and I support having robust races. But nevertheless, the votes aren't here for that, so I will support the May election date. Aye.
Potter.
I think the first order of business for any city council is to effectively and timely conduct the business of the people. And I think that putting this off to September and possibly by the end of November would certainly weaken our ability to do that. And I think that takes precedence over other considerations. I think folks have made some good discussions. I, too, look forward to the commission's discussion, but I would like them to be deliberate and intentional in their decision-making. And I appreciate the comments of our community as well as the council. I vote aye. Recessed until 2 p.m.